I come in the power of light. I come in the light of wisdom. I come in the mercy of light. The light hath healing in its wings.
Welcome to the Golden Dawn Podcast. Join us now as we enter the pathway of light.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is. This is the Golden Dawn Podcast live right now, and my name is Robert Zenk, your host. We have some exciting information to go through tonight, this afternoon, and we hope that you will stay with us and participate in every moment of this broadcast. This broadcast is about protection. It's about invoking positive energies. It's about removing unwanted and negative energies. The point is, think about this. You are a spiritual being. You're a magical person. And you have a strong will. You have a strong desire to open yourself up to higher forces, higher energies, angelic light. Is it possible that by lighting yourself up on the etheric or astral plane with all of the spiritual, magical, and meditational work that you do, that you could be attracting negative energies or unwanted forces into your life, much the same way that a light bulb at night will attract flies, mosquitoes, and moths? Find out and discover as our panel here this afternoon discusses this important subject from a Golden Dawn perspective and from a Hermetic perspective. And of course, you are invited to join us on our chat room. And our chat room is open. Simply join in and start chatting. You're welcome to start chatting on our chat room. So I guess I'll ask another question. Are demons real? Some people say they're just negative energy. Well, what is the definition of a demon? And so we'll discover this and we'll talk about this as well on today's broadcast. Let me first tell you this. I believe, in my opinion, clearing, the ultimate banishing, it all begins with adoration to the Lord of the universe. I don't care what your motives are, how noble they are, how profound they are, how deeply you have been inspired by some kind of a spiritual being from on high. You can be talking to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It makes no difference to me. If you are not aligning yourself with divine source, with the divine God, the Lord of the universe, then I believe, in my opinion, you, me, we, leave ourselves open to the manifestation and possible, shall we say, problems of negative and unwanted forces in our life. It doesn't mean we can't deal with them. It doesn't mean we won't deal with them. But we certainly leave ourselves open to them. It says in the Corpus Hermeticum, holy is God, the Father of all. Holy is God, whose will is accomplished by his own powers. Holy is God, whose wills to be known and is known by those that are his own. Holy art thou, who by the word has united all that is. Holy art thou, of whom all nature became an image. Holy art thou, whom nature has not created. Holy art thou, who is stronger than all power. Holy art thou, who art higher than all preeminence. Holy art thou, who surpasses praises. Think about that for a moment. If you and I are aligned, if we're attuned, if we're connected, plugged in to that higher spiritual force, then as the scriptures say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so I think it's absolutely essential for the light worker, for the magician, for the spiritual-minded individual to reattune, to reunite with that higher self, the holy guardian angel, the higher genius, the spirit of divine source, God, whatever you want to call it, that oneness, that source of all light. Let's go to our panel today. We have some interesting guests ready to join us from the Temple of Ptah, a wonderful temple serving the Midwest part of the United States. And that temple, they spend an awful lot of time training their students on how to protect themselves from unwanted negative forces. We have very honored Frater IC. Welcome to the Golden Dawn podcast.
Good evening, Frater. Very excited about the show this evening.
I think we have an excellent show ahead of us this evening, and we're going to probably go overboard and end up carrying it into next week as well. And we have also from the Temple of Ptah in Chicago, VH Frater AA. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, I think for our new listeners, before we go further, please tell us what the Golden Dawn Temple of Ptah means, briefly. Who is Ptah? What does it mean? And why that name?
Well, Ptah is known in Egyptian mythology as a creator god. The reason that we chose that patron for our temple is at the time of our core group, everyone in the core group was a tradesman or a metal worker or an artist or a musician. And so that patron was very befitting to the personality of the group itself. And just over time, we have over 200 members in the Chicago area, in the Midwest area, that are connected in some way to Temple Ptah. And we find we're constantly attracting new artists, new builders, new creators. It's a very creative force, very creative energy. Wouldn't you agree, IC?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I think to go along with some of what we heard from the Corpus Hermeticum, you know, Ptah was one of the fathers of the gods. And, you know, that's one thing we try to keep in mind at Ptah, is that unending reverence to the Lord of the universe, to that father referenced in the Corpus Hermeticum. And most certainly, as the father of the gods and that eternal seed, it begets that creation. And I think just as our entire order of the Esoteric Order of the Golden Dawn feeds off of that creative spark, we like to think that we contribute what we can there from Temple Ptah.
Now, it's interesting that you have an Egyptian name for a temple, which is fairly traditional in the Golden Dawn tradition, is to have an Egyptian deity, though not always. And I think we need to talk a little bit, because we're going to be talking about banishing a negative energy, and sometimes people have a belief that somebody else's deity is negative, or somebody else's archetype is negative and theirs is positive. And so one of the things that the Golden Dawn teaches is how to, is a thing called transcendence, how to transcend, you know, how to see Ptah in God, the Holy Spirit of the Trinity, for example. And so we see this transcendence, and it can, and then of course it can transcend into the Greek, it could transcend into Gnostic Christian, because the Golden Dawn is not a religion, it is a mystery school, so it embraces all of these ancient mysteries. But can you explain a little bit more about this transcendence concept, Frater AA?
Well, that, the transcendence concept is very deep and meaningful to me, because before I came to the Golden Dawn path, I had studied different forms of spiritualism and metaphysics and occult knowledge for years and years. I was raised predominantly Catholic, and when I was 8 years old, my brothers were much older, and they got me into metaphysics and astral projection, and it didn't mean a lot back then, but when I was 16 and 17, it began to impact my life on a search for truth. So I went off to study many different sects, you know, different even in the negative areas of occult study, to Eastern philosophy, to Buddhism. I studied the Quran for a while. I got deeply involved in metaphysics and shamanism. And so just a large array of study. And the one thing the Golden Dawn did for me was it put it all together in a nice, neat package. Because suddenly, here was a compilement of everything I had learned in my entire life, not only relating to spiritualism, but it backed up my own religious beliefs and my own religious background and just drew me in and provided that sense of stability and security and pointed the way to the next step. Here was a practical application to put all that study, all that knowledge into something useful.
Let's move on because we're running short on time, and I know that IC will have plenty to add to that as we go through this. But I want to start right from the beginning. Okay, negative energy, unwanted forces. That's what this show's about. And I just received a letter in my Facebook account. It was from a lady who said, you know, she's been to every spiritualist under the sun. She's been to all kinds of healers. She's got this guy that's obsessed with her. And, of course, we know the three stages of obsession. Obsession, trance, and death, as outlined by McGregor Mathers. And so this man is in the trance stage. He's beyond obsession. They've done everything under the sun, including restraining orders. And he doesn't give up. And she's worried. She says, what can I do? And so, you know, we see people that are struggling with people that are obsessed or in a trance state. They're literally, their eyeballs are glazed over, if you will. And they're so focused on something that is not of the light. It's not moving in a positive, uplifting, edifying direction, as the Golden Dawn teaches. On the other hand, we see people that, and I get this every day, and I know you gentlemen do as well, you get letters from people that say, look, I'm being harassed. There's negative energy. I talked to a gentleman yesterday on a private mastermind group that I have, and he says, you wouldn't believe I've got things flying through my house. I mean, literally, things popping off and breaking. And he said, I got a bloody nose 1 minute, and as I go to grab the cloth, the TV explodes, you know, and about 14 other things going on at one time. So not everybody is harassed to that level. Other people just have unwanted negative thoughts that are so strong that even the most skilled NLP practitioner or cognitive therapist is going to struggle with those unwanted negative thoughts. Are we living in a world of increased negativity, or does it just seem that way because we have the ability to communicate now? Fred, I see you want to field that one?
Well, I think that it's important to understand that just as we would teach of the presence of angelic forces, which are those beings which lead us towards the light. They lead us closer and closer to an understanding and a union with our divine creator. So too, there are opposite contending forces which would seem to prevent that union from occurring, or at least would cause doubt and shadow and darkness and pain and despair, just as when we get closer with the divine source, we are filled with more joy, hope, and love. And just as within the Golden Dawn circles, many people will debate the objective nature of angels themselves, even within some other Golden Dawn groups, they may see this as more psychological in nature, so too does the debate weigh in concerning the objective or metaphysical nature of darker demonic forces. But it seems to me that if we move away from our complete necessity to understand their objective existence, and rather understand these forces, whatever you want to view them as, if they are objective, if they are internal, and in most cases it may be a combination of both, if we look at them by the fruits they bear, and we look at how they affect our spiritual path, then we can begin to deal with them. And some people, depending on where they are in their spiritual journey, will be more tormented than others. But it's certainly the case that the closer we get to that divine source, the closer we become to this knowledge and conversation with our guardian angel whose face forever gazes upon our Creator, we must expect an adversary, as you say in many of your teachings. We must expect some force, be it internal or external. At the time, I don't think that we will care whether it's internal or external. We just want to get rid of it. And I think hopefully that's what we'll be dealing with this afternoon.
Well, I guess my question or my thought then, and maybe you want to feel this one, Fredder AA, is, and I think IC pointed out, it doesn't make any difference if it's internal or external, but here's my thought. And we can get into the microcosm and the macrocosm, or perhaps we can just, for the sake of the conversation, just say that it's all macrocosmic or all microcosmic. It really doesn't make any difference. I guess my point is that if we approach this as just another form of psychology, aren't we going to get about the same results that psychologists get, which is about a 25% help rate? Don't we need to, in other words, when we're dealing with negative forces, let me be blunt here. Are there demons, yes or no?
Well, most people probably don't go through life deliberately seeking these finer distinctions, and certainly not macrocosmic, microcosmic, subjective, or instinctive. But I do believe that these forces exist, that they're attracted into our lives through discouragement, disillusion, through even boredom and self-pity, loneliness and frustration. I'm not saying that those are the entrance for a negative or a demonic influence, but it opens yourself up to being more vulnerable to attracting those types of forces into your life. It creates a backsliding effect and leaves you in a constant search for happiness and joy and companionship, and then that makes you even more vulnerable to slip into these negative and lower forces. It's a realm of existence that you're drawn into, ultimately, not necessarily a psychological realm. But just as energies become more dross and heavy, you get drawn into that dross and heavier world, and you're stuck then to the forces that are within that realm. And the physical body can be drawn back and forth into a heavier, lighter state, and then you're subject to the forces of that state. And the forces of these much lower states can be called demonic in nature. I believe that demon, if I'm remembering correctly, comes from a Greek word called demi, and it means divider. And so the more we draw ourselves away from the divine, the more we draw ourselves into these lower emotions, then these forces that divide us from the Holy Source are more preemptive in our life, and we leave ourselves vulnerable and allow them to come in and take control, if you will.
If I may add to that, concerning the psychological, I think it's important to understand that if we were to view these effects or these demons as purely psychological, then the only tools we would be able to use against them would be psychological tools. And I think this is the point you're making, Fredder, is that the psychological tools are not good enough because the symptom is a spiritual symptom. You need spiritual tools to deal with a spiritual problem. And unfortunately, all the world of psychology cannot deal with the effect of this phenomenon.
Okay, so we understand, I think we're in agreement. I think, this is what I've heard. I think we are in agreement that, and I know this is putting people right on the line, but there's, we have a tree of life that we use as our glyph in the Golden Dawn tradition. And on that tree of life, there are three worlds that are mentioned, okay, with divine spiritual names. In other words, God emanates himself through angelic forces. So we have the divine name in the highest world. We have the archangelic name, in the world of Bria. And then we have the angelic name, or the choir of angels in the world of Yetzirah, which is the astral plane just above us or around us. And then, of course, we exist in the world of Asaya. Now, there is also in the Golden Dawn tradition, in advanced teachings, an adverse tree. And on that adverse tree, there are demonic forces that are mentioned for each Sephiroth. In other words, each one of these emanations of the divine that are designed to empower, uplift, and take us closer to our spiritual source also have a force that is designed to be an opposer to us. Am I correct in this?
Of course.
Okay. So to say that we have, if we're going to do the work and say, look, I invoke the power of the great Archangel Michael, or the great Archangel Raphael, or all of them, as in the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram, or the greater ritual of the pentagram. I've invoked all of these powerful angelic forces. Now, if I've invoked these powerful angelic forces, I've invoked them for a reason. And the reason is what? What's the reason?
One reason certainly would be to align us closer to the presence of the divine, to align us to that aspect of the Creator that is within our sphere.
To align us, but don't they also cleanse, if you will, or diminish any negative influence that is trying to permeate what we call in the Golden Dawn tradition our sphere of sensation?
Oh, sure. Just in virtue of turning on the light and you know, the darkness in the room will fade. The darkness is there in those specific spheres when we haven't the proper amount of light that is invoked through the presence of those angelic forces. So when we invoke them, then yes, the darker force of the adverse tree then becomes less apparent.
Yeah, and talking about the banishing ritual of the pentagram, when you draw the pentagrams, it creates a vacuum effect, and it removes those negative energies, and when the archangels are called in, they're actually facing outward and standing guard, and they create that wall of protection against those negative and adverse forces.
Well, yeah, and in fact, S. L. McGregor Mathers says that this is the primary tool to what? Break the obsession problem. So there's a difference between, you know, most people know that I do a show on Law of Attraction Network, and I talk about the Law of Attraction. There's a difference between sending out an intent to the universe and focusing on a positive intent and being obsessed, isn't there?
Definitely.
Okay, so when we get ourselves into a point of obsession with another person, another thing, an object, or even a negative aspect of our own being, or particularly a concept. We see people on the magical path sadly getting obsessed with power, right? Personal power of some sort. Doesn't the invocation of the four archangels reduce that level of obsession if it's done with sincerity and it's done with clarity as well and understanding?
Sure, we're reaching outside of our own inner sphere, which is where a lot of the weakness would reside once affected by these forces and the force of obsession, and we're reaching up to the divine presence and petitioning for the strength of the angels, for the strength of God, in order to stand in for our own weakness and therefore aid us in, you know, against these obsessions.
Well, I've also always seen it too that you've created a circle, you've cleared your sphere, you've created this magical circle, and you've now pushed away from you the influences that would normally feed those obsessions and feed those lower emotions, and so it gives you a greater degree of control and awareness over what's influencing your life.
So, briefly, we're talking about the pentagram ritual, and we're going to get into other things and may even come back to the pentagram ritual because we have a lot to cover in the show. But in the pentagram ritual, what we are doing is we're looking at the perfected man, aren't we? We're looking at man that is being infused and purified by spirit. In other words, we're talking about the upright pentagram, which was, by the way, an early Christian symbol as well, and has been a symbol of many mystery traditions. So the upright pentagram is a symbol of man stretched out before God. It falls under the presidency of Yeheshua. So it is the four elements of under the divine name of Yud, He, Shin, Vav, He, the four elements plus spirit infusing. So we're not just purifying our nature on an elemental level. We're purifying all the elemental levels and the four worlds that we live in with the pentagram when it is upright.
Right.
And I think that's a very important point, because what it is saying is that the symbol is good. It's a single point, one single point, symbolically touching the divine spirit. And when it is that way, it's affirming the empire of divine spirit, divine light of your higher genius, ruling and governing over the lower, over matter, over all the lower and negative energies that we've talked about earlier, the things that Feder AA talked about, you know, that can deal with anything from depression to lust to uncontrollable urges for power to you name it, right? But now we have this divine influx. Now, later, you know, we haven't talked about this in depth, but one of the things I think, not to get off topic here, but one of the things I think that keep people from really, you know, making their magic just snap, crackle, and pop, I mean, really making it take a bang and boom, is because they're going into their temple or their holy space to invoke something, but they're already filled up with a lot of negativity. They're filled up with anger. They're filled up with pain. They're filled up with hate. They're filled up with jealousy. They're filled up with all these negative lower vibrations that I think, even if it's coming from their own mind, even if it's coming from their own habits, it's being fortified, if you will. Do I dare say this? It's being fortified by demonic forces. What say you?
Well, I think that one thing that is definitely a practice to deal with this is the old Franciscan prayer of praying to be made empty. First, before we enter that temple and we try to fill ourselves with divine light, we have to accept the fact that we have been influenced, maybe through our own inner weaknesses, by these external demonic forces who want to seek to prevent us from gaining access to that light. If the purpose for going into the temple, no matter what magic we do, is to align us more securely with the creative force of the divine creator, then there will be these demonic presences whose task it will be to oppose us, perhaps in challenging our own will, our own dedication. And if we enter that temple, or if we enter our daily lives, whether it be our work environment, our family environment, or any relationship, with all of this pent-up negative internal opposing forces within us that are then strengthened by these demonic presences, then there's no way that we can fill ourselves with divine light. We're already full. And therefore, we must empty ourselves of that. We must balance these aspects out of us. We must shield ourselves from these demonic forces. And then, from that point of centeredness, stillness, and emptiness, do we do our work?
Okay, we know that in the Kabbalah, and I think that's the key. We have to be empty. We have to approach the work in a sense of emptiness. What happens, though? And I'll ask to both of you, what happens when a person does have a close encounter with a negative force? What happens, I think, I'll give you my two seconds on it, I think is that they become overloaded with fear. And once that fear is in their subconscious mind or in their serious sensation, it's difficult to remove that fear. I think coming back to a firm foundation of and knowing the pentagram ritual, knowing how it clears from all directions, it clears the four worlds. It clears the different types of elements. It does it all, okay, on an elemental level. Now, there are other types of negative forces that we can talk about later in our upcoming broadcast. But knowing that this is, and it aligns you with divine spirit. It aligns you with God, however you see God or goddess. It aligns you with it. Now, the study of the Kabbalah, of which the Golden Dawn is intimately tied to, is the study of the Supreme Being, the cosmology of the creation of angels and man, the destiny of man and angels, the nature of the soul, but it's also the nature of angels, demons, and elementals. So I'm going to ask a question. We have a lot of people that listen to this broadcast that know that there's something negative in their life. They don't know how to put a finger on it. Maybe they've been doing everything that they've been taught. They're praying. They're opening themselves up to divine light, to spiritual light, to spiritual source. And as I said earlier and in the description of the show, oftentimes you become like a light in darkness, you know, and all the mosquitoes start coming to you because you're making a difference in the world. You're making an impact, not only in your own life, but in the lives of others. And what's happening is you're attracting negative and unwanted forces. What does a person do? Where do they begin, Fred or AA? I mean, where do you start?
Well, at an Asaic level, these evil or negative or demonic forces, they often seem a lot more powerful, and to some people, they seem more impressive than good. And there's actually, in my opinion, a very simple reason, because it's pure energy. There's whether the pure energy is expended for good or evil motivated intentions, the effects of the evil or negative acts or the demonic acts seem much more larger because you experience them on the earth or a psychic level where you've sheathed yourself from the greater understanding of God and the majesty of that divinity, which exists in a much larger world. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. Well, how about this? Let me throw something out there. Let's say we have a person that is not trained through the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn, so or through any kind of a legitimate mystery school, and they don't understand what's going on. All of a sudden, you know, cars are exploding, houses are burning down, bank accounts are becoming empty. A lot of things that are going contrary to what's happening. And I've heard explanations, and I don't know that I disagree with these explanations, but I don't certainly buy into them, hook, line, and sinker either, where they say, well, you're just attracting all of that. I don't know that that's always the case. But I will say this, that we need to realize, and here's the premise, that God, that light, that divine essence is within us, and that it is infinite, and that nothing is more powerful than it. And that if it is within us, if we are, one of the things that makes us very different from angels, for example, no matter how powerful, you know, we've read the stories of Michael the Archangel and casting Lucifer into hell, and we've read Dante's Inferno and all of this kind of stuff. So we know how powerful these angels are. They're extremely powerful, aren't they? But no matter how powerful the archangels are, or the angels, or the angels of the Boronorm, or the Shemen Foresh, or the angels of the Enochian watchtowers, or all the angels that we work with in the Golden Dawn, not a one of them, except for your holy guardian angel, which is really the divine essence within you, there is no angel that has the ability to create. It only can take the influx, the overflow of light from God in God's will and do that will. So it takes that will of God's creative power and acts as the emissary of God's creative power. The same is true with us. God is within us. Awakening that source, that spark of light within us, is awakening God everywhere. And then we have the ability to recreate our lives, which includes a life without negative energy, a life without being tormented, a life without unwanted thoughts, a life without all these lower vibrational thoughts. And we have tools in the Golden Dawn tradition that will help you do the creating, just like Ptah, the builder. He has tools. He has hammers and nails and all of these kinds of things. You know, the carpenter has saws and everything. Okay, the saw is not the creator. The tools are not the creator. The creator is in you. That's what gives you the power under the presidency of Yehoshua, Yehoshin, Vav-Heh. That's what gives you the power to say, before me, Raphael, behind me, Gabriel, on my right, Michael, on my left, Ariel, for about me flames the pentagram, the symbol of me, standing in perfection before God, and behind me shines the six-rayed star. You have that power because the light, God, the divine source, the infinite, is in you, as well as you are in the infinite.
You know, I agree with what you're saying. You might like it to the more good that you invoke, the more spiritual forces that you invoke, and through the esoteric or the Golden Dawn, you gain access to a great many tools to invoke that light, to invoke that divine influence more into your life, and that divine influence affects a greater part of your being, because a greater part of your being is the spiritual part. And those negative or evil influences, they actually make up a much lesser part of your being. And so that the more influx of divine light, the greater the connection to God, to the angels, the more limited and closed space those evil influences have to live within.
Well, to go along the line of the divine spark within us, and, you know, we have to ask ourselves, if we have the presence of the divine within us, and we know through our magical experiences that we have the power to create, we have the power to attract the things into our lives that that we're moving towards, why is it then? This is the question. Why is it that we are still tormented by these opposing forces, by these demonic forces? And I think that perhaps one way to look at that is to understand that we create for a purpose, right? We are co-creators with the divine source for the glorification of this world. And the way that we create the most effectively, and the way that we can become the best co-creators and the best glorifiers of this creation, is to be closer to that divine source, right? That's the spiritual journey that we embark on, in the theurgy that begins in the initiation in the Golden Dawn, when we begin that journey away from our lower, gross material nature, where a lot of these, although a lesser part of our nature, these negative evil forces may reside, and we move towards our divine nature. So this implies that it's a sliding scale, that we can be closer to the source and be expressing a fuller aspect of that union in our creative endeavors, or we can be farther away from it and we can be closer to our gross natures. And if it's the case that our journey is to go closer to this light, then there must be a mechanism, there must be obstacles on this path that will give us the strength to continue on that journey. And I think that, as many mystics have said in the past, God permits us to fall in proportion to our pride. And that just is, you know, one mystic's way of saying that the more we identify with our gross nature, and the less we identify with our divine creative spark, the more obstacles will be put in our path to remind us of the frailty of our of that part of us which is not eternal, so that we can through that be reminded of our less frail, more eternal spiritual natures. And I think that sometimes that that's why we attract, or we seem to attract, these negative forces, which then can be strengthened by the demonic presences.
That's well said. I mean, really, that is absolutely well said. And it's what it is it's saying, look at the top of the mountain. And by the way, we need to clarify that not all resistance is good sometimes. It's futile, as they say in Star Trek, but it is good. You know, resistance can strengthen you. Resistance can solidify your resolve. Not all resistance is demonic or negative. But when we allow resistance to start breaking us down, when we allow resistance to put us into a state of defeat, and we start giving up and we start opening up to lower vibrational energies, then we become targets, if you will, for unwanted negative energies or unwanted negative forces, and the very lowest and pronounced of those we call demons. Now, somebody asked a question here, so we'll try to answer that the best we can. We'll throw it out to our panel here from Ptah. It says, I do not understand how magic and God can be the same. Anybody want to take a shot at that one? How can magic and God be the same?
Well, if I may just say the first input here, God is creation. It's being itself. God is existence. And magic is just one expression, right? One way of looking at magic is basically our using our power of intent to create something in accordance with our will. And that can either be aligned with God's will, or it cannot be. So magic isn't necessarily the same as God, but it is most definitely not in opposition. But nothing can be created without the presence of God.
Right. So would you say that the presence of, or the use of the magic of light, as taught through the ancients and the traditions and through the esoteric order of the Golden Dawn and all that, would you say that the magic of light is designed to eventually bring you to a point where there are no opposing forces, where there is no darkness, there is no light, you are beyond and above, it's he is in me and I am in him, we are one and the same, all is one. That is the highest state of consciousness. Most of us don't live in that state of consciousness all the time. That certainly is the state of consciousness we certainly want to be in that communion with our holy guardian angel, you know, that perfect state of bliss and infinite knowledge and gnosis, if we will. Well, we've got about 14 minutes here. We'll take more questions, but from the chat room, but I do want to talk about an exorcism of sorts, and maybe we'll go further into this, into different types of exorcism, but a very powerful type of exorcism, Fred or AA, and a lot of people don't realize this, is the neophyte initiation of the Golden Dawn. They seem to think that it's just a coming out party. You're just being brought into the light, and then afterwards there's cookies and cake, and everybody cheers you on, and that kind of thing. They don't realize what a powerful exorcism this is.
Well, I don't know about the cookies and cake. We like to have pizza after the neophyte.
Okay.
Kind of a Chicago tradition. But the neophyte is an outstanding form of exorcism. Great many members come in with problems of negative afflictions, negative energies, and after having gone through the neophyte energy, the energies of that initiation, the slate is wiped clean. Essentially, your alembic is broke open and cleansed and purified and then put back together whole and renewed again. In a certain respect, you're born again into the perfected state represented by the body of Osiris. And so it's a new beginning. Now, the Hierus says at the end of the neophyte initiation, you know, to have this day as Mark 1 in your existence. And it really is Mark 1 because it's the first day, entirely new beginning. Could you imagine walking in to a room and going through an initiation and coming out a completely different person? You know, you feel the same, but you just didn't expect for dramatic change to occur through such a simple yet awesome ceremony. What do you think, I see?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, clearly, if, you know, the goal of exorcism, of any exorcism, is to relieve a soul from the torment of darkness, from the torment of demonic forces, if you will, or just internal lower forces of the self, then one of the primary aspects of the initiation is to relieve us of what we call that threefold cord, that bondage to mortality. And it's that bondage that we go into a neophyte initiation with that really prevents us from obtaining our highest aspiration. And it's through the magic and the power of the officers in the initiation, and when everything is done properly, to relieve us, to relieve the soul of this ensnarement, this entrapment, if you will, to the flesh and to our lower natures, which open us up to these torments. And there is no greater reward of this work than to finish up the neophyte initiation and look into the eyes of the candidate who has just been, as you said, reborn, and see that relief in their eyes, to see physically and astrally that they have been relieved of the necessary bondage to this mortality. And it's not always perfect. Everybody walks out a new and different person, but it's that beginning of a journey where they know that now they can step forward like the Fool of the Tarot card, and they can begin their journey up that mountain of initiation. And it really is a powerful experience.
Well, somebody asked earlier, what about magic and the divine and God? How does that go together? And in the neophyte ceremony, you know, over 60 different God forms of God are invoked into the temple. All of the officers are invoking different forms of divinity, and the Hierophant himself or herself is involved in the process of invoking all these divine energies in accordance to affect change within the sphere of sensation of the candidate and create that initiatic force in the temple.
Now, the Esoteric Order of the Golden Dawn at www.esotericgoldendawn.com is the only Golden Dawn order in the world that provides authorized astral initiation in the tradition of McGregor Mathers. And what we mean by that is we simply mean that the entire ceremony is being performed at one of the temples, usually at the Temple of Isis, but also at other temples as well from time to time, and for that particular candidate who cannot be there because they live too far away, or they live in a distant country or in a distant state, and they don't have a temple near them. We've heard the pounding of the drums from a few people on this astral initiation who really don't understand the premise of exorcism and magic and light. What about astral initiation?
Well,
I mean,
look,
isn't it also an exorcism as well?
Well, look, if all there was to initiation, and certainly there are psychological initiations, there are re-anchorings of the mind and of the person, but if all there was to initiation was the effect of a good movie or the effect of a play on a person's psychology, again, this goes back to what I said about psychological tools cannot be used to solve spiritual problems or begin spiritual journeys, although they can be aligned with them. If that's all there was, then okay. If you're not present, then clearly psychological tools are not being performed on you effectively. However, that is not what we do. I can't speak for other orders. Maybe they don't view initiation like we do in the Esoteric Order of the Golden Dawn. But in our order, initiation is a spiritual and magical act that, as you mentioned, AA, you know, forces are being invoked in a temple magically, and it is a physical space. It does employ the Asaic element in the temple to invoke these 60-plus magical aspects of the divine. And it's through that power of the exorcism taking place, which is, you know, one part of the neophyte initiation, that is not bound by time and space. Merely, just as the soul is not bound to a physical body, neither is the effect of magic dependent on the presence of that individual to relieve them of this burden of the flesh and to begin anew their spiritual journey.
Well, one of the things that McGregor Mathers talks about so often is that one of the keys to dealing with an unwanted force is to invoke the opposite force. And so in the neophyte initiation, we are removing, we're cutting away, we're digging out, we're cleansing out the unwanted negative force, but then we're invoking this moment, this absolutely, I never get tired of it. It's almost a spectacular moment where light comes rushing into the candidate and really everybody that is participating. Light just comes pouring in. And at that moment, there's a cleansing process. And I have to tell you a brief story. I have to make this real fast because we're running out of time. But many, many years ago when our temple was in Fontana, we had a gentleman who said, came to us and he said, who was a member, he said, my girlfriend has been having trouble with demons. And he was Chinese, his girlfriend was Japanese. So she came over, and we started listening to these demons, but they were all speaking Japanese. We couldn't understand them, so we recorded them. And we took the recording down to the Buddhist temple where there were Japanese monks. And they listened to the recordings and they go, we understand portions of what is being said, but this is high Japanese. We understand that this is Japanese that would only be reserved for royalty. So naturally, when in her waking state, when things were normal and everything was going well, I asked her, I said, where did you learn how to speak high Japanese? She said, I never learned how to speak high Japanese. It's almost a dead language in Japan. And I said, well, you speak it very fluently, you know, during these times of possession. We tried everything under the sun. Of course, we're speaking English. The demons are speaking, or whatever they were, these shells, because they're not always demons. Sometimes they're shells. These shells are speaking Japanese, so I don't know whether we're communicating or not. But they're not responding to anything we're commanding. We're doing a full-blown. We have five people in this room that are invoking. They're praying. We're doing everything under the sun. And finally I said, I think I have an idea. I said, I don't think we're making the progress that we want. I think it would help if we had somebody that spoke Japanese, high Japanese, like somebody from the royal family. But I said, in lieu of the fact that we don't have anybody from the royal family, why don't we ask her if she would be willing to enter the pathway of light with free will on her own and go through the neophyte initiation of the Golden Dawn? And she said, I'm more than happy to do that. I want light in my life. That's all I want. And about halfway, just as we were approaching that part of the ritual where she didn't know what was coming up, where the officers are all yelling light, and the light is being invoked in that ray into her and into the candidate. Just at that moment, just before that moment, she goes berserk in the temple and starts tearing it apart. I mean, things are flying all over the place. And finally she's on the ground screaming, I'm blind, I'm blind, I cannot see. So we carry her up into one of the spare bedrooms, and I begin to hypnotize her and put her into a deep state of magical trance. And after a state of relaxation and calmness, the hysteria subsides and the eyesight comes back. We go out into the temple. We continue with the temple half torn apart. We continue. This is hours later. A lot of people have left, but the officers are still standing by, you know, and they reinvoked everything from the beginning. We brought her back to that point. We stood alongside her, and the word light was invoked, and light came rushing down in one ray. People that were there saw it with their own eyes. They saw something miraculous take place. To this day, we don't know what we saw, but we saw something, and she was never haunted by those demons again. They may not have understood English. They may not have understood banishings, but they understood the power of the neophyte initiation.
Yeah, wow. Definitely not psychological, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And there are still many witnesses in our order today that will testify to that. It was absolutely, I think somewhere, one of our sores in California still actually has the recordings of the exorcisms. Can I ask a favor of both of you? You guys are phenomenal. Can I ask you both of you to join me next week at the same time on the same subject? I want to go deeper, and I want to actually get into some types of exorcisms, including Enochian and some of these other things as well.
Sure. Sounds like we'll learn a lot.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. I'm glad Frater AA and Frater IC will be back next week. We're going to go deeper. We're going to look for somebody that may need some spiritual help along the way. I want to thank them both for being on the show tonight, this afternoon, this morning, whenever you're listening. And they just provided so much input, and we're going to talk more about this subject next week as we go even deeper. So tell all of your friends, make sure you mark it. It'll be 5:00 on Tuesday right here. I want to remind you that if you want information on the Golden Dawn, on initiation, on the pathway of light, it is www.esotericgoldendawn.com. That is www.esotericgoldendawn.com. I also want to thank those of you who have been to my own personal website. I have some free gifts there for you and some interesting blog material that you might find of interest. It is www.robertzink.com. But be sure and visit our Golden Dawn website at your convenience. Thank you for joining us. We will be here again next week, and we will talk more about unwanted forces, angels, light, the Golden Dawn, and the pathway of light. This is Robert Zink, your host, thanking you. And remember, peace profound.